in honor of Black History Month, the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is going to tell you about 20 black rock metal bands and artists. Some of them you're going to know, but a lot you're not going to know, all of which rock really hard. So this is going to be a great show because we love to tell you guys about new music or bands you may have never heard of. This is what we're all about here. The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus starts now. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting with me in the co-pilot's chair this evening is the lovely and talented Miss Lily Von Six. What's up, Lily?
What's up?
You ready to rock tonight, Lily?
Every day.
Every day. You ready to rock out with your talk out? That's the real question.
Jam out.
Jam out with your clam out.
Yes.
That's the other t-shirt we're working on. For the ladies. That's what we'll do. The men's will be rock out with your talk out. The women's will be jam out with your clam out.
Ha-ha.
Maybe.
Ha.
Anyways, go to lulombardimusic.com. There's a free download there, as well as access to our inner circle group, which fun and exciting things are happening all the time. New people are joining. It's a cool place to be. All music talk all the time. No politics. No bullshit. Just great music talk, specifically the kind of music that involves lots of really loud guitars. That's like our thing.
That's definitely my
thing. That's our thing, baby. So, yeah. Let's talk about our sponsor, and that is Wolf's Customs. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online and get yourself a custom paint job on your musical instrument, whatever that musical instrument happens to be. It could be guitar, bass, ukulele. There's a whole ukulele scene. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Get together and play ukuleles. That's a whole thing. Your accordion, or if you're from Cannonsburg, accordion. Whatever you want. He will do Chris Thunderwolf Dodson does amazing custom paint jobs. His specialty is hollow flash, which is really, really cool. So this is the kind of thing that gets you to stand out a little bit when you're playing live or doing your Zoom concerts or whatever. Gets folks' attention. No reason to go on stage with the same boring-looking guitar that the last five bands had. You can have a custom paint job from Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Tell them Ludini and Lily sent you. Rock Rage Radio. RockRageRadio.com. Download the app. They have been carrying the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus on Sundays for a long time now. So give them a little love. Get the app. There's no charge. You can listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7. Piped right into your e-hole. Right in your e-hole. So, Lily, what is going on with you?
So, I went to a Mardi Gras party over the weekend.
Mardi Gras! And how was that?
It wasn't, take your shirt off and get some beads kind of party, but they did have some saxophone going, they had good food, there were beads involved, just,
Beads and balls?
Beads and balls.
Now, nice.
it was really fun at the Forge in Homestead. Little winery. Nice little place. I recommend it.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. And Lily V6 has her own show on Rock Rage Radio. And what is that? And when is that?
It's Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, rockrageradio.com. Or you can download the free app to your smartphone. Also, Lily 6's Live Saturdays is this weekend at the Subalpine. It's the second month that we're doing it. Hopefully we can keep going all year. I have been filling up some spaces, but we have Steve Wooler, Chip and the Charge Ups, Strangle the Witness.
Strangle the Witness. I love that.
Altered States and Desolence. And of course, Metal Heathen Jewelry will be there. And Dan Clamage will be there selling their wares. So
their wares.
Come out and have a good time.
It's a great time. The Subalpine is a true rock and roll venue. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, you definitely want to check it out. You can find them on online. Just look it up. Turtle Creek, right?
Yep. Yep.
Not
yep.
Turtle Creek. Turtle Creek.
Well, I say creek, but that's fine.
Turtle Creek. Okay, so we want to talk today about these, about black artists in rock. I want to preface today's show because, you know, if this was a few years ago, I wouldn't have to say this. But given that it's 20, we just had 2020, and now we're in 2021, I need to say that we are going to do our damnedest to be very respectful to the subject. However, this is a show with a lot of comedy and some irreverent humor. So if you're, you know, if you think you might get offended, you might want to listen to something else. I'm just saying, but we, and also we are not black, so we don't necessarily, we might say something and you might, you know, take a little thing at it. Sorry, but we just know that it's coming from a place of love. We have absolute, total respect for these artists and just want more of them. Right, Lily?
Legit.
Get out there. Hey, black dudes, pick up some guitars and rock out. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Good stuff. And quite honestly, I didn't realize that there were a lot in the metal scene. So.
There's a lot in the metal scene. And I think what has happened over the past, since the decade turned, I think, because music became more democratized, and there aren't you're not as tied to having to be on a label and
right.
stuff now, that I think you are seeing more of people, diverse folks, you know, participating in
all genres,
guitar,
really.
Yeah, all genre, but a guitar, rock. I mean, something that was a kind of perplexing for years is you had, I mean, white folks doing hip hop and R&B and rap. But there wasn't the sort of like analog to black folks picking up guitars and rocking out and kind of making a kind of splash in that. So there's a great documentary, and it's very hard to find right now. I wonder why. Called Electric Purgatory. I put a link to it in the show notes. It was on Netflix for a little while. I saw it about 10 years ago. And if you want a copy of it, you have to go to Amazon and buy a physical copy. It's not on streaming. However, if you connect up a VPN and you change your location, you might be able to find... Because when you go to Amazon, it says not available in your location. So if you change your location to Europe or someplace
you
like
might
that,
be able to find it.
You might be able to stream it. But I highly recommend it. Artists like... Doug Pinnick from King's X is featured in it. A couple of guys from Fishbone. It's a really thought-provoking documentary about this subject of like, we started rock. You know, we started rock and roll, and what the hell happened? What, you know, why aren't we still doing rock? I'm going to circle back to some of the topics that are discussed in that documentary as we go along. But I want to get into the talking about the bands right now. And we've got Lily and we've got me. Unfortunately, the Hawk is having some, I would say technical difficulties.
Electrical.
He has no electricity right now. So unfortunately, the internet doesn't really work without electricity. Isn't that funny how that is?
Why haven't we figured that out in 2021?
You know, I know, really, really. We should have. Yeah, it should run on, you know, water or something.
Grains. Garbage. Dog poop.
Yeah. Anyways, so Lily, let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and start with you, and because I think we have some different folks that we want to talk about. So let's go ahead with who you got on your list. And this is in no particular order. We're just throwing out some folks that maybe you forgot about and or maybe you never even heard of. So we love introducing you guys to maybe music you don't know about. So go ahead.
This is going
to
be one that a lot of people know, but Howard Jones, best known as vocalist of...
Clarify that, please.
What?
Howard.
Oh, not Howard Jones, like we know Howard Jones. This is, and if you want to search him, you could just Google. Please Google Killswitch Engage, and you will find everything you need to know on
him. It's not the Things Can Only Get Better guy
right.
in the 80s. With a very cool hair. By the way, I had Howard Jones hair in the 80s, but I digress.
Anyway, he is the best known as the vocalist of bands Killswitch Engage and Blood Has Been Shed. And he is the current vocalist for Light the Torch, formerly known as Devil You Know. He's usually on the Jamie Josta podcast and on the Gas Digital Network. He left Killswitch Engage in early 2012 to allow himself to manage his type 2 diabetes, which was worsened by hectic touring. I could see why that would be a thing.
Absolutely.
A lot of drinking really screws that sort of stuff up. It put him in a coma for 3 days, and he was the new singer for Killswitch, and then he had to quit. So, but during the time, they released 2 gold albums, The End of Heartache and As Daylight Dies. He used to be straight edge, but today he shares a passion for medical marijuana with his friend and fellow Killswitch Engage frontman, Jesse Leach. So good stuff.
He's very cool.
When I saw him, it was awesome, but now you can't. So
so he's not part of...
He's not part of them.
Okay. I want to talk very briefly about a band with... this is a great band name, by the way, too. The band is called Negro Terror, and specifically Omar Higgins. Unfortunately, Omar had health problems as well and passed away. At the very ripe young age of 37, he'd been hospitalized after he had a stroke. The band was a sort of black hardcore punk. They garnered a pretty big following in the punk movement. He was a Brooklyn native who grew up playing punk rock. Higgins brought his flair for hardcore music to Tennessee when his family moved there in the late 1990s. He eventually enlisted in the Army, serving two tours in Iraq. Thank you for your service. By 04, he was back in the music scene where he formed the punk outfit, the name of Downfall of Humanity, and a reggae band called The Soul Enforcers. This is something that is, again, I mentioned the democratization of the music business. This is something that went right along with that, people being in multiple bands. It's a thing now. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, if people would be like, oh, did you quit such and such? No.
Right.
Nowadays, it's like, no, I just have a whole bunch of stuff going on. But he says coming up playing this music, people looked at me funny. They'd say, that's white boy music, but music doesn't have a color, said Higgins. And it's not about being an all-black punk band either. The whole idea is for young African-American kids to feel comfortable doing whatever it is they want musically. Thank you. Thank you, Omar. Very wise of you. Negro Terror is about destroying these old ideas. Negro Terror's much-anticipated debut album is due out... Well, when this was written, was due out back in 2019, so it was released posthumously.
I never say that right either.
Posthumously. But anyways, check them out. There's some great... The guy has a really great presence. Check out their videos. Voice of Memphis is one of the videos by Negro Terror. You can find it on YouTube, of course. Negro Terror, Omar Higgins, rest in peace. But very cool vibe, great band.
Awesome. I love it.
So, and Lily.
And it's my turn.
And Lily. Lily.
We're going to throw one to the ladies of rock and metal. Carla Harvey of the Butcher Babies. Singer, songwriter, musician, author, artist, former nude model slash actress. Best known as...
That sounds crazy.
Best known as co-vocalist with Heidi on the heavy metal American band Butcher Babies. She actually landed her first job in Hollywood as an entertainment reporter for Playboy Channel.
Oh, my.
Appeared on many popular TV shows like Rules of Engagement, but she took a break from that whole world to earn a degree in mortuary science from California Cypress College.
What a real renaissance woman.
She does it all.
That's very crazy.
I think she's one of those people like me. If you're sitting, you're like super bored and you just got to take on new ventures, and that's just how it is. But she was an embalmer at a funeral home before pursuing her lifelong dream of being a touring musician. She's passionate about writing. She was named a comic book mastermind by Hustler. Her first published comic book, Butcher Babies, was released with great success at the Comic-Con in San Diego in 2011. And her first full-length novel, Death and Other Dances, was released in 2014. And a new comic series entitled Soul Sucka was released in 2015. And she is a huge advocate of female representation in the metal music scene, obviously, as she should be. She's also, like, she is a great artist, I know. She's always posting her stuff online, so it's a lot of fun stuff like Cthulhu and all of that. So,
Good stuff.
I love her. I absolutely love her.
Awesome, great
one
great
for the
pick.
Ladies.
And well, speaking of the ladies, I'm not sure if Sate is an actual. I don't exactly know how Sate identifies, so we're going to kind of let's leave this open to your interpretation. Sate was one of the very first interviews I ever did. And some of those early interviews of mine vanished. We were using the TalkShoe platform, and a bunch of stuff kind of vanished. I don't know if any of that stuff is still around, but Sate was very, very cool. The Toronto vocalist and songwriter leads a dynamic band combining blistering hard rock with gritty blues. The empowering messages embedded in... Okay, her. says her music, her soul-shaking live show have quickly built Sate's reputation as an artist impossible to ignore. And it was a great, if you could find that interview, it was, she gave me a run for my money. She was very gracious, but very, very cool. Very intense person. Take it from musicforlunch.com. Her music leaves you exhausted, but leaves a fire burning in your soul that wasn't there before. Sate is a cosmic being. She governs her life through astrology, numerology, and tarot. Hmm. Notice I didn't say tarot.
Thank goodness.
Tarot. And her spiritual connection to her surroundings. On her first album, she pursued her spiritual connection to the Black Panther, Red Robin, and Blue Butterfly. On this next journey, she's pursuing her connection to the tarot. This new body of work is named after her hero of the tarot deck, the Fool. Interesting. The card is about beginnings and trust and stepping off a cliff with an ultimate faith in the universe. The album is an anthem for anyone who has dared to dream and work towards their greatest self. So it's really kick ass and really rock and roll, rock and roll. I mean, it's total kick ass.
Yeah, so, what you had me listen to was pretty amazing.
Yeah, Warrior was the first single, but Know My Name is a great jam as well. You can't miss with Sate. So check it out. You can go to stateofsate.com for more information about Sate.
Nice, good to know.
What you got, Lilith?
The next one, Lilith, on my list is LeJon Witherspoon of Seven Dust.
LeJon.
Members from bands such as Stain Seether and Alter Bridge have listed Witherspoon and Seven Dust as musical influences. In March 2008, he was recognized in Hit Parader as one of the top 100 metal vocalists of all time.
Amazing voice.
He was ranked number 35, placing over numerous famous rock vocalists such as Bret Michaels, Scott Weiland, and David Bowie. His father was a singer in a funk band, so we can see where he gets his talent from. When they were living in Nashville. Before getting into music, Witherspoon played football and wrestled for Norcross High School, and he also practiced judo for a number of years, but eventually he chose music over sports as his primary activity, and I really think that he like hit it home with picking that because he is amazing.
I want to explore Seven Dust just a little bit more, if I may. This was a band that was very seminal for me personally. I heard them on a little station out of Johnstown called Quick Rock. And Quick Rock would play, starting from 10 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning, would play like the latest cutting-edge bands that were just coming out. And I heard a lot of bands on there that I had never heard before, a lot of records and a lot of songs I'd never heard before, that absolutely floored me. One of those bands was Seven Dust. And I just, the first track I heard was Black. Amazing track. I had to get the album. I went out and got home, which is just, it's all killer, no filler. But something interesting that is, I think a lot of folks may not realize about this, and this, Lily, I think you're going to find this really interesting, is that Seven Dust was the first band signed to J.J. French's record label. And he co-produced it with him. J.J. French was one of the guitarists from Twisted Sister. So J.J. took the millions he made from We're Not Gonna Take It and started a record label. And one of the first bands that they had, I believe that maybe even the first band, was Seven Dust, and introduced the world to this amazing, heavy band, insanely heavy, yet very catchy music, very grooving music. You could get up and dance to it or boogie out to it. Just really amazing. The name is sort of a play on the commercial insecticide brand Seven Dust, spelled SEVINDUST. So it was those rockers. They
it's kind of metal like.
Yeah, that's kind of metal like. But 98 performed at Dynamo Open Air and Ozfest through July and August. The same year they released a compilation called Live and Loud, which featured live footage from the band's performance September 16th, 98 at Chicago's Metro. go back. I would say that if you're a fan of heavy rock, you have to get Home. Home has to be in your album collection. It is just stunning. It's a great album, great band, very unique, doing nothing like anybody else was doing at that time. Great mix of the super and his vocal work is a great mix of like the kind of like real growly, like real aggressive stuff with, but he could sing. There's songs on the album where he's just beautifully, it's very soulful, beautiful singing as well. So a lot of stuff, a lot of influences, a lot of genres that kind of play. I'm sorry, it was TVT Records is the name of the album. Escaped me for a second. TVT Records. So there you are. How do you say his first name? Lejeune?
I say Lejeune.
Lejeune Witherspoon. Witherspoon is easy. Lejeune is rough for me. You guys know that I have trouble talking.
Just so, pronouncing some things. It's mostly names.
I can't talk nothing. goodness. Okay, so I went on and on about that, but I do want to mention Benji Webb comes from Newport, South Wales, and is a member of a hybrid metal outfit, Skindred. Webb's story, however, goes back to 93 when he was a founding member of a similarly styled Dub War, which disbanded in 99. For a very short stint between Dub War and Skindred, Webb formed Masked Mental with Robert Trejo. How do we know Robert Trejo? From Metallica, Suicidal Tendencies, he's even on an Aussie album. All the way, Webb has performed with Korn, Bullet for My Valentine, Soulfly. What Skindred does is a masterful and powerful amalgamation of reggae, hip-hop, heavy metal, ska, dubstep, and much more. The amazing thing about Skindred's output is that it feels natural and, most importantly, unpretentious. And that is a good point, because sometimes when artists really try to reach, there's an old expression, his reach exceeded his grasp. Mm-hmm. And that means that, like, yeah, he was reaching for something, but he didn't quite get there, or it came out wrong, or came out cheesy, or whatever. That is not the case with Skindred. Very grounded stuff, even with being able to reach out and bring in a lot of different genres. So you might, it's a band that you might be interested in. Maybe you've never heard of them. I don't know, Lily, are you familiar with Skindred?
I'm not familiar with that band.
I listened to some of their stuff today. It's kick-ass.
But
if
they performed with Soulfly, then I would like it.
There you are. So that is Benji Webb from Skindred.
Very cool. I'm going to go with, next on my list, Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy.
Is it Lynott or Lynott?
I say Lynott.
Lynott.
I don't care if it's wrong. It's not. It can't be. He's an Irish singer.
Yeah. That's just crazy, right? How many black Irish people do you know? Like, you know,
I mean, there's probably more than we think.
Yeah, I know, but there's probably more than we think. But like famous people, right, you know, there aren't too many.
Most commercially successful with Thin Lizzy, which he was the founding member, principal songwriter, lead vocalist, and bassist. Very imaginative lyrical contributions to the songs that he did. Very different. I'm a huge fan of Thin Lizzy. He did a lot of the songs were influenced by his own life. Also, the Celtic culture were a lot in there, obviously, since he's Irish. He's fronted several bands as a lead vocalist, including Skid Row, not that one, alongside Gary Moore, before learning the bass and forming Thin Lizzy in 69. After initial success with Whiskey in the Jar, the band had several hits in the 70s, like The Boys Are Back in Town, Jailbreak, and Waiting for an Alibi. Apparently, their stage shows, which I've never seen unless I've seen in video, were just amazing with the dual lead guitars. Would have loved to have seen that live. I'm too young for that. But
Scott Gorham, one of the amazing, and he had great hair, by the way. I think
you're obsessed with the hair today.
Well, look at me. Well, I don't got none. So people got hair. I kind of get a little envious of them. Hey, man, I take an afro at this point. I don't care. I need something.
You should have. You will get you a wig. I have plenty of hair at home. He embarked upon his whole solo career in the late 70s. He published 2 books of poetry, which seems like something he would do, being as the lyrics were pretty poetic. He was unfortunately heavily affected by drug and alcohol dependency later on in life.
Really? A rock musician on
that
drugs?
Happen.
I never heard of that. It's crazy.
But this unfortunately led to his collapse on December 25th, 1985. in his home. He was discovered by his mother, who didn't know about his drug use. His wife did, but his mommy didn't.
Surprise, surprise.
But he died of pneumonia and heart failure due to sepsis in the hospital's intensive care unit.
Terrible. I hate to hear about sepsis, because that is something you go to the hospital for something and you could live. But unfortunately, you get sepsis in the hospital.
Yeah.
It's something you get from being in the hospital. It's really, really tragic.
But he died at 36.
Oh, gee whiz. Too young.
Yeah.
Thin Lizzy was a great, it was an amazing band. Those guys reunited recently and put out an album. They don't call themselves Thin Lizzy. The name, we will look it up. The name at the moment escapes me. Do we have some comments?
We have.
Or is everybody just talking amongst? That's great.
A lot of people talk amongst themselves.
That's totally fine. It's a community, so we do appreciate that.
Warren Hughes said to come to one of his Project Mayhem shows.
That's right. Warren is a badass guitar player. Black dude who kicks fucking ass.
And Jared Grease said, Quick Rock was where I first heard Seven Dust as well. Too Close to Hate was their first song I heard. However, if you want me to go to my post on Facebook, I think we have a lot of people talking on there.
All right.
So let me go ahead to
Go to there.
I have from people. Jared mentioned LaJohn Witherspoon. Josh Montadoro, Body Count.
Oh, yeah. That's in the mix. One of us has to talk about
it. I think so. Randy Cole, Bad Brains. Uh-huh. Bill Munn's 24/7 Spies. Jason Wurgo, he said Brad Brains, Fishbone, Thin Lizzy, Lenny Kravitz, and Tom Morello. God Forbid, Alice in Chains, Jimi Hendrix, Killer of Sheep. So there were a lot of mentions there.
I want to touch on a couple of things, and I love you guys for participating. This is such an exciting topic to me. I want to. I just got to say, and I really want to Keith on for this, because I think that he would really, I think he would kind of amen me on this. But black musicians are really the progenitors of rock and roll music.
Legit.
It came out of the blues. If I may, real quickly, give you guys a kind of a music lesson. The difference between rock and rock music, I'm pausing the background music for a minute, between rock music and the blues. Very similar chord structure, but here's the difference. Blues music has this shuffle to it. Rock songs do that too, but this is a kind of a general kind of description, okay? Whereas rock music doesn't rely on the shuffle, doesn't rely on that 16th note feel or the triplet feel. It relies on right?
Yes.
One and two and three and four and one. That is the primary kind of difference between the blues and rock. And the guy that really exploited that really, really well, the guy's amazing songwriter, amazing guitar player, great singer, great moves. And I believe this gentleman is the true king of rock and roll. And that is Chuck Berry. Elvis, look, man, Elvis is a great performer, and he had a great team behind him, and he had great marketing behind him, and he had the Colonel, and he had, you know, Sam Phillips and all these folks that were like, you know, kind of helped styling him and putting him out there. Elvis never wrote a song. Elvis was a shitty guitar player, and I mean, Elvis was like a all around entertainer. He was a movie star. He was a performer. You know what I mean? He was a sex symbol.
No, nothing against Elvis. Love him to death. He was sort of a puppet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. He was kind of doing whereas Chuck remained a rock and roller to the day he freaking died, mm-hmm. playing that guitar loud. In your face, if you have any doubts, watch the documentary Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, where he's about ready to punch Keith Richards in the face. He actually did punch Keith Richards in the face. That is another thing that makes Chuck real rock. He punched Keith Richards in the face. It's a true story. I'm not going to digress into it. But in any case, he has all the stuff there, and he predates Elvis. It's amazing music, and there is no guitar player. Warren, you can attest to this. Warren's a guitar player. Jared Grease, Gals, none of us can say that we've never played that double stop riff in some way, shape, or form. We all work it in one way or another. The Chuck Berry riff I mean, just it killer. Those riffs are just became everything. And you got guys like George Harrison and John Lennon, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, who were like, oh my God, Chuck Berry was freaking everything. Joe Perry, another guy, Chuck Berry was freaking everything. So I have to just I got to take the crown off Elvis and got to give it to Chuck Berry. Not because it's Black History Month, but just because it's freaking true.
I'm down.
I mean, totally. Like, Chuck was the man. It's sad that he's gone, but he rocked out until pretty much the day he passed away. There's videos of him now. Yes, he started to get a little dementia and stuff there at the end, but he was on stage playing rock and roll in his 80s, mm-hmm. doing the duck walk, you know what I mean? Like, doing the whole thing. So he had it all going on. Slicked back hair, the loud guitar, the moves. And he was a freaking songwriter, like a real musician. In my opinion, Chuck Berry is the true king of rock and roll. Legit. And so we're going to kind of get off of that. But it's something that I wanted, but it's been on my mind since we started talking about doing this podcast. And I think there's a lot of folks out there who would agree with me. We'll see if anybody comments a little bit later on about my little diatribe there.
Warren Hughes says amen.
Yeah, absolutely. somebody mentioned this band. I'm just going to do a quickie on it. These guys were, I mean, Pat Smear came out of this band. And these guys were like a great punk rock band of pretty much all black dudes. Bad Brains. What are you going to say? I don't know what else to say about Bad Brains.
Just they like belong a frick. On the list.
Yeah, they absolutely belong on the list. I don't want to get too far into it because we have a lot to cover tonight. But Bad Brains, do you have Bad Brains on your list?
I did not put Bad Brains on my list.
So what do you got, Lily?
I got Toes in a Bossy from, and I'm probably saying that wrong.
No, that's it. Toes in a Bossy. Okay. Yeah,
from Animals as Leaders. He's the founder of the band. He recorded and released 4 albums with the band. He's a guitar virtuoso, self-taught. Guitar World ranks him at 97 on their list of 100 greatest guitarists of all time.
I would definitely move him up, but okay.
He first picked up a guitar at his friend's house, simply strumming it and making basic licks on the spot. At this time, he was being exposed to some music through learning the clarinet in elementary school, and his mother was kind of like, I don't really want you to do this, but surprisingly, his father was like, let's go ahead and do this. He later began to rent hair metal guitarists' instructional videotapes from his local music store, saying that some were videos you did not want to be caught watching because of the racy material in the tapes, a.k.a. girls in bikinis. Strict parents, you know. I've seen him twice. He opened for Generation Axe. I saw one in Niagara Falls, and I saw one here in Pittsburgh. And I'm going to tell you what. He may have opened the show, but he could have easily played alongside any of those guys. Steve Vai, Zakk Wylde, Nuno Bettencourt, Yngwie Malmsteen, even our little Swedish meatball. He was phenomenal. I'd never heard of the guy before seeing Generation Axe, and I was blown away by his guitar playing. Absolutely blown away.
There is a new generation, guys, and Warren, I'm sure you know about this, of what Rick Beato calls super shredders. And these are guys that have taken what Steve Vai and these guys were doing and have, like, blown it out of the water. And Toes in a Bossy is one of those guys. I don't even know what the F he is doing. I'm a guitar player, and I'm like, I'm educated. I've got a degree in music. I studied for many, many years. And I just like, when I see him, I'm like, huh? What in the hell is that? But it's amazing. It's beautiful music. The band, what are they called again?
Animals as Leaders.
Animals as Leaders is, and the thing about Animals as Leaders too is, like, it's a great sort of platform for him because he can, because they do real songs. It isn't just like a jam band where everybody's jerking off. Like, there's like real parts. It's complicated. Things come in and out. And it just shows that, like, no, I can play with restraint and I can play with a band, but the riffs and stuff they do, like the riffs that band does are harder than a lot of the solos. Yes, and I'm not surprised at all that he was renting those videotapes because he definitely has that, like, background. You can tell that, like, he wasn't going to be satisfied, you know. I mean, nothing against bands like Bad Brains, but that just wasn't going to satisfy him. You know, he really had the drive to take it to that next level. You'd have to watch. I don't even know how to describe everything that he really does. It's just sick. He's freaking sick. I mean, there's this whole generation now of these super shredders, these guys that have taken it. He's one of them. Guthrie Govan is another guy who's just like, what? Like, there's nothing that guy can't play. It's insane. It's unfortunate because I think that, like, if Tosin Abasi was 20 years older and when it came out in the 80s, he would have smoked everybody.
Oh, legit.
He would have been the guy.
Music would be different.
Yeah, he would have changed music. I think that those bands have. It's just that our music scene is more spread out now because it's democratized. I keep using that word. But there's a whole scene of guys that are just sick, and they're all on YouTube. So, guys like Stevie T and Jared Deans, and there's tons of them out there that can just play their asses off. And you're like, what the hell?
I mean, I didn't even know who he was when I went to see Generation X. I went to go see Steve Vai because I have a huge crush on him. And, you know, Zakk Wylde, too, and all the guitar guys. Because it basically is just really just a whole bunch of shredding is what the show is.
Yeah.
And when he opened, I'm like, what a way to open up a show like this, because I'm just like already like out of my seat ready.
He could have been the headliner.
He could have. He really could have. Yeah. But it was just freaking amazing.
I don't even know who to compare him to. Like, I really got to say it. Like,
they were all different. But
he does is just he's on another realm. Like, but I think that you see this happen with music because, you know, it goes so far. There's always a generation. So you got to say, like, and Hendrix, right? He's got to be. I mean, he's on the list. Were you going to talk about Hendrix?
I have him.
Everybody knows who Hendrix is, and, like, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. But you got him. You got Chuck Berry. You got Hendrix, and then, you know, then you got Van Halen, et cetera. You know, you go down the line, and then, you know, so each generation is building upon it and taking it in new places, and it's just so exciting to see these young folks. And there are even guys that, like, we don't know about yet. There's people with like 30 views on their YouTube channel right now who probably smoke Tosin Abasi. I'm not, no disrespect, but like, this is where it's going. Like, the more people get exposed to this stuff, the more places that it can go. It's really freaking exciting. I am, thank you for bringing into, I did have Animals as Leaders on my list. I wanted to take a reverse real quick because we did mention Bad Brains. I didn't go too far into it. I will admit I didn't have my notes in front of me. Sorry, I got a little caught off guard. But Bad Brains are an American rock band formed in Washington, D.C. in 77, widely regarded among the pioneers of hardcore punk. Though the band's members have objected to this term to describe their music, they are also an adept reggae band. While later recordings featured elements of other genres, Bad Brains are followers of the Rastafari movement. Originally formed as a jazz fusion ensemble under the name Mind Power, Bad Brains developed a very fast and intense punk rock. That's funny. They went from jazz fusion to punk rock. Like, who does that? God bless you. And this style became labeled as hardcore. It was often played faster and more empathetically than many of their peers. The unique factor of the band's music was the fact that they played more complex rhythms than other hardcore punk bands, also adapting non-punk style guitar riffs and solos into their songs. They've released 9 studio albums. The band broke up, reformed several times over the years, sometimes with different singers or drummers. In 94, the definitive lineup with Dr. No, HR, Daryl, Jennifer, Earl Hudson reunited, albeit performing sporadically. In 2013, keyboardist Jamie Schaff was recruited to play with the band, fulfilling both live and studio roles. So they have a little bit of background. I sort of skimmed over Bad Brains, but there's a little sort of background on Bad Brains. What do you got?
I got William Duvall of Alice in Chains, who is the current co-lead vocalist.
Yeah, let's talk about this because, you know, when you said Alice in Chains, you went, what?
Yeah.
But yes, right. They got this dude singing. Yeah. And what do you think of him?
So I saw him one time, and he's an amazing singer, amazing guitarist. If you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know the difference if Lane Staley was in the band or Mr. Duvall, because he sounds almost identical to him, in my opinion. when did I see him? Oh, I saw him in 2019 before, you know, we shut down. But it was an amazing show. I would go see them again. I was a little skeptical because I'm a Layne Staley fan. So, you know, I'm like, this is probably just going to sound meh. But it was really good. I loved it. He joined after Layne Staley died in 2002, but he joined in 2006. He does share vocal duties with guitarist Jerry Cantrell. He's recorded 3 albums with the band.
They've done 3 records already. Wow.
Yeah. Since 2016, Duvall has been the lead vocalist for the supergroup Giraffe Tongue Orchestra. he has played a role in many bands playing in a variety of genres, an example being the influential punk rock group Neon Christ. Duvall's first solo album was just released in 2019. Like I said, I think his voice is amazing. And if you didn't know any better, which most people do, but if you didn't, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the band changed at all.
Wow. That was the thing that I noticed about him as a singer, was he was very Layne Staley-esque.
Yes. He's a good frontman, too.
Is he a good frontman? Yeah. Now, that's all I know, that I just heard him sing, and I went, oh, that sounds a lot like Layne Staley. So, very cool.
Good stuff. Good representation of the band after Layne died, I think.
Okay, and so we were talking about a lot of bands you probably heard of. I'm going to talk about somebody that I would suspect, even Warren probably isn't. Maybe Warren, maybe you know about these guys. This is a band called, and I hope I say the name right, Sasamaso. S-A-S-A-M-A-S-O.
Yeah, I agree with
the
that.
The oldest thrash metal band from the island of Madagascar. Even Madagascar.
They're
is
Malagasy?
Up.
That's awesome.
Right. Is also the first female-fronted one. Sasamaso means clean your eyes. Cool. Very cool. I love it. The groundbreaking band writes their lyrics in a Malagasy, and don't shy away from violent, morbid themes inspired by Sepultura and Obituary, as well as the traditional sounds from Madagascar. They are led by singer Rasa. The band comes from the notoriously violent 67 Ha neighborhood and openly talk about the effect it had on them. They were first formed in 02 before disbanding in 2013. Then they reformed in 2017 and have been active ever since. They signed on the French label Legion of Death. That's a great record label name. And are currently touring Madagascar. These guys are really cool. Very unusual, unique sound. The singer is a very good, like, melodic voice. It's good stuff. I was like totally rocking out to it. So if you don't know anything about this band, check them out. I'll spell it. I couldn't find an official like .com for them.
Okay.
Sasamaso. Check them out. I think you guys would. I think you like really good heavy rock, heavy metal, thrash type stuff, but not. But still very melodic, very cool stuff. So, what do you got? You got somebody saying something, or no? You're gonna.
I actually have someone, Mark Christian Jones said Tony McAlpine. McAlpine,
yeah.
Am I saying wrong?
Hey, Mark, listen, but I went to
McAlpine.
Tony McAlpine.
Okay.
I went to a guitar clinic with him many years ago at this music store in Altoona. He's a badass. Good pick.
Also, Greg Howell.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Mitchell, 24/7 Spies, White Lightning, Living Color, Skunk.
We're going to get there. We're going to get to Living Color. We're getting there. We're getting
a couple more.
We have a little ways to go. We're not done yet.
The next one on my list,
is so
though,
fun, and I'm really excited we're talking about it. So go ahead.
Derek Green from Sepultura.
Ooh.
For our heavy metal fans. Brazilian heavy metal, actually. He joined the band in 97 after the departure of Max Cavalera. Green became a friend with the roadie. Of the already formed thrash metal
band. Guys, it pays to be nice to the roadies.
Be nice to them. They do a lot of the work. Actually,
yes,
all the work.
They do.
He joined the band formed in 1985. He joined the band in 1986. I totally got off track here. He was friending the band Outface, which was formed in 85. He then joined the band in 86 at the age of 15.
Wow.
Stylistically, their music varied between rock, heavy metal, and punk with ska elements. Then back in New York, Green and Garriga, who was in that band, teamed up with drummer Sammy Sigler. Who was from Side by Side and Youth of Today and Judge, and then a bunch of other people that I'm not naming. You can look it up on YouTube, or not YouTube, Wikipedia. In 1996, Green would start to play guitar and sing with Sarah Cox. They would then form the band Alpha Jerk. They later recruited drummer Luke Abbey. I have more notes here. Who was then replaced by Nick Heller.
This guy has a real history.
He does. but Green was approached in 1997 by A&R the A&R rep Mike Gitter from Roadrunner Records. He told them that Sepultura frontman Max Cavalera had left the band in 96. They were searching for a new vocalist. He suggested Green try out for the position. Sepultura had recorded one song with no vocals to see what people all around the world could come up with. Kind of a cool concept for an audition. Green got a hold of the tape from Gitter, and he recorded his idea for the song Choke and sent it to Brazil. A month later, he tried out, auditioned for 2 weeks, and the rest is history, and he became in the band. He joined another band, Música Diablo, in 2008, a thrash metal band with members from Nitro Mines. Don't know how to pronounce that, so I'm not even going to try, and Dead Fish. So he has a lot going on.
He's a pretty big resume.
In his whole world of music. So he's no joke. Not only Sepultura, which is one of my favorite bands, but a bunch of other stuff too. And he started at age 15. Like, he's been doing this for a good long time.
It's so exciting.
Yeah,
it's really exciting because there's so many people that, like, you guys, we just don't know about who are out there, and that's the thing we like talking about. This guy, I'm going to switch gears a little bit from the super, super heavy stuff. This guy is still a great rocker. I became aware of Ben Harper because of a little teeny tiny radio station in Pittsburgh called WYEP. WYEP plays this kind of stuff that kind of doesn't fit anywhere else. And Ben is, in my opinion, he's kind of classified as a blues guy, but he's really a rocker. And born in October 28, 1969, American singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, plays an eclectic mix of blues, folk, soul, reggae, and rock. Known for his guitar playing skills, dynamite guitar player. He's a great singer. Very emotive singer, amazing live performances. He's released 12 regular studio albums, mostly through Virgin Records, and his tour. Virgin Records ain't no joke. That's a big record label. Harper is a 3-time Grammy Award winner, 7-time nominee with awards for Best Pop Instrumental Performance, Best Traditional Soul Gospel Album, and Best Blues Album in 2013. At the 40th Blues Music Awards Ceremony, Harper's joint composition with Charlie Musselwhite, No Mercy in This Land, was named Song of the Year. He's just great. And can tear it the hell up. He does a great version of A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. He does an amazing rocked up version of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing.
I love that
song. You have to hear, in my opinion, look, not, I love Marvin Gaye. Okay? I grew up on all that soul stuff, but man, there's something about Ben's interpretation. When we're done, I'll play it for you. It's like, whoa. He takes it to another level. It's live, and it just takes it to another level. Just find something in the song that, like kind of Marvin maybe forgot to include when he did his version of it. But great singer, amazing guitar player. Does this very cool, like, lap steel playing that a lot of guys, that's a kind of a lost art, a lot of guys don't do. So check him out. That is Robert Randolph. I was thinking about Robert Randolph. That is Ben Harper, of course. So you definitely, if you don't know about Ben's music, check it out. He's all over YouTube and all the places.
Nice. So I'm going to talk about Vernon Reid and Living Colour now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to specifically talk about Reid. He was the founder and primary songwriter of the rock band Living Colour, named number 66 on the Rolling Stone magazine's 2003 list of 100 greatest rock guitarists of all time. Probably should be different, but we know how Rolling Stone is. He first came to prominence in the late 1980s in the band of drummer Ronald Shannon Jackson. 1984 Smash and Scatter. Well, I'm going to screw that up. Scatteration was a duo record with guitarist Bill Frisell. In 1985, Reid co-founded the Black Rock Coalition with journalist Greg Tate and producer Conda Mason. In addition to his work with Living Color, Reed has been engaged in several other projects. He released Mistaken Identity, his first solo album, in 1996, and has collaborated with the choreographers Bill T. Jones on Still Here and Donald Byrd on Jazz Train. He performed Party Till the End of Time at the Brooklyn Academy of Music with The Roots and End of 2000 Millennium Tribute featuring the music of Prince's album 1999. He also composed and performed Bring Your Beats and... it's a children's program for the Academy or the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And I often sneak in Living Color songs into my show. I think I'm allowed to do that. John, don't yell at me.
The Living Color is a really important band. I think they brought a lot of things out about what was going on with rock music at that time. And this goes back to the documentary I mentioned earlier, Electric Purgatory. Living Color didn't fit the mold. I mean, when Living Color broke, who was big? Who was big?
Oh my gosh,
Skid Row, yeah. Motley Crue, Poison, you know, all the pretty guys and everything like that. These guys come out, they don't quite fit that kind of look. And one of the issues that the documentary Electric Purgatory talks about is like how record labels just had a hard time classifying or like marketing these bands that didn't quite fit that. And I think that the part of the issue was it's the 1980s and it's MTV and we all have to have a look. And if it doesn't quite fit, we don't know what to do and things like that. And it's unfortunate, and I think there was a lot of probably other bands that, you know, were trying to break, and we just couldn't crowbar them in because of this sort of issue that shouldn't have been an issue. Probably if it wouldn't have been for that type of visual thing, say it was the 70s, may have been a little wee bit of a different story. But Living Color, because their sound is irrepressible, I think that they just... and. Doug Corey, is that his name? No, Corey Glover. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Doug Corey. Doug Corey's a singer from Pittsburgh. Sorry, Corey Glover is a like insane stage presence. And you got Vernon Reid, who was a sort of next generation shredder. He was another one of these guys who became a giant guitar hero. That they were able to get out there because they had filled those, like checked those boxes off of great singer. Dynamic stage presence with this amazing lead guitar player. An insane band. Just absolutely what they did was incredible. I have the first three albums. It's amazing music. You definitely want to check it out. We have time. I want to mention one more band because we're running out of time here. One more artist band, and that is Doug Pinnick of King's X. A great singer, great songwriter, great bass player. Let's see here. Born in September 3rd, 1950, American musician, best known as the bass guitar songwriter and co-lead vocalist for the hard rock and progressive metal band King's X, has performed on 15 albums. They did 15 records.
That's
I remember when Gretchen Goes to Nebraska came out. That's how old I am.
Oh, stop.
That's how old I am. And he's done four solo albums.
Well, he's 70, so calm down.
Looks good for his age. Look at that. He's got a six-pack. No, I don't mean he's carrying a six-pack of Miller. I mean he's got a six-pack. Washboard. Pinnick has also participated in numerous side projects, multiple guest appearances to his credit. He is recognized for his unique vocals, which are characterized by strong gospel influence and this heavily distorted bass tone. His resume is all over the place. But I want to talk about something personal with me and Doug Pinnick. In 79, Pinnick was invited to join a band that was forming in Springfield, Missouri with singer Greg X. Voles of Petra. These guys were Christian rockers. He accepted the offer, relocated, only to have the band dissolve within a month of his arrival. He was soon offered a spot with the legendary Phil Keaggy, who's a guitar player that more of you guys should know about. He toured with Phil Keaggy, along with drummer from the failed Vols band, Jerry Gaskell. None of you guys who are music heads will know that name. Co-writing credit on the track Just a Moment Away from Keaggy's 1980 album Flipside. He toured with Keaggy, and I saw this freaking tour. And I was like, this black dude playing the bass backwards has an amazing... And he could sing. Like, Phil let him sing some of the songs. And he had this amazing voice. And they kicked ass. They rocked the F out. And this was a Christian show where there was a little sermon at the end, and there was an altar call, and people gave their lives to Jesus and stuff like that. I mean, but Doug Pinnick was there. I mean, I was like, holy crap. And I didn't know who he was. I just knew he was badass. And then all of a sudden, a year or so later, King's X breaks with Ty Tabor, who's an amazing guitar player as well. And the rest, as they say, is history. But I wanted to share this sort of like personal story of me and Doug Pinnick. Yeah,
because
we're buddies and we hang out.
Because you are tight now.
There are so many guys, and it's so awesome, and I'm so happy to celebrate this. We didn't get to talk about Fishbone. Amazing band. When they did Freddy's Dead, I immediately went. I still have it on vinyl. I had to buy that album, and I have a couple of their albums. I just absolutely loved that band. A newer guy, Gary Clark Jr., who, again, gets kind of pushed into the blues thing, but Gary Clark Jr., Alvin Youngblood Hart, the guys like that, kind of like, because we don't know where to put the record industry doesn't know where to put them. They call them blues, but they're essentially rockers, mean guitar players, just kick-ass stuff. So just a couple shout-outs. Bad Wolves, some bands we just were not able to get to. Any, you want to rattle off maybe a couple you didn't get to?
Well, I got Lenny Kravitz, of course, Prince, Terrence Hobbs of Suffocation, I mean, that's a death metal band. Never expected we would have an African-American gentleman involved in a death metal band.
Good.
But very cool.
Why not?
I just didn't expect it. Jared Gomez of Head PE. Slash, of course. Rocky George of Suicidal Tendencies. Jimi Hendrix, the big one there. And Little Richard. And Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine. All hugely respected in my book of rockers and metalheads. So...
Did we talk about, what's the band with Ice-T?
I didn't talk about that band, and now I can't even think of the name of it.
Because it's Ice-T's birthday.
Oh,
born
I didn't
on
even
this
know.
Day in 1959, Ice-T. Real name's Tracy Morrow. Morrow? A male rapper who lived in the UK. He didn't live in the UK. What am I talking about? Male rapper who had the 1993 UK number 21 single, That's How I'm Living. More famously known for the song Cop Killer, but got to give a shout out to the man. And this is a guitar player who I think is really great, completely underrated. Andy Taylor from Duran, as well as the Power Station, was born in 1961.
I love the Power Station.
Dave Lombardo from Slayer.
There it is.
Are you sharing from Slayer? happy birthday to those rockers. We love you guys. And I got to just say this because I grew up. Sonny Bono, born this day in 1935. Not to be confused with Bono from U2, Sonny Bono.
Bono.
So guys.
Married to Cher.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. any final comments or anything you want to add before we.
The only thing I want to say is make sure you guys are coming out to my show on Saturday at the Subalpine for the Lily Sixes Live Saturdays. There's amazing local talent coming out, and show starts at 7. So all ages for this one.
Body Count. I'm sorry. I was embarrassed. Just escaped me for a second. Body Count. Legendary thrash rap metal band formed by rapper Ice-T in 1989. So shout out to Body Count. Somebody had mentioned it in the comments.
Yeah, someone
too.
Did.
Jenna, check out, you want to go to wolfscustoms.online, get a custom paint job on your guitar. Great way to stand out on stage or on Zoom or whatever you're doing. Or your photo shoots. You can hire Michael Goltz to come to your place and do a cool photo shoot for you.
I love Michael.
Yeah, Michael's a great dude. We love Michael. And go to lulombardimusic.com. Free downloads. You get access to our private Facebook group where you don't have to put in it with any of the regular Facebook BS. just all music, folks sharing music, talking about music. A lot of people we were talking to tonight are in that group. And Rock Rage Radio, rockrageradio.com. Download the app. Get yourself rocking out 24/7 with great guitar-driven rock.
It's free.
It's absolutely free. What can you say? Who doesn't like free? Yes, we did not mention the purple one, Prince. I mean, big.
We have to really mention him, though? I think it's known.
And you know, I just want to say that Let's Go Crazy is a rock and roll song.
Oh, my God. I love that song so much.
That's a rock and roll song. Yes, it was a big pop.
One of my favorite guitar solos.
Straight up rock and roll song. So don't even like, you know, come on.
So back it up.
Yeah. And, you know, there's there's the Hendrix. Do we need to mention Hendrix? We don't have to.
He's the man. We all know
who Hendrix is. Like, he kind of like goes without saying. So we absolutely love him, of course. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. And we will catch all y'all. I don't know how you like that, all y'all. On the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.